Welcome to Subway Sports Talk.
Dan, clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to SST on Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, and on YouTube, and apparently on Amazon Music, which is a thing that I just added it on, which, you know, cool. Maybe someone's listening on Amazon Music. Shout out you. Wherever you listen, appreciate you all the same. And if you can, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app. Let us know if you like the show. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear more of. It means a lot. Helps me out a lot. If you like the gambling stuff, tell me you like the gambling stuff. Tell me your favorite bets. If you like the NBA talk, give me the thoughts on the NBA and the Knicks and what's happening over there. Well, the more I hear from you, the more you get what you want. Because I try to give the people what they want. And I try to talk about what's interesting to me. And what is interesting to me right now is the NFL. I'm all in, baby. NFL time is here. Baseball is abysmal. The Yankees are up, you know what, creek without a paddle. They got a lot of games to win. Who knows if they're going to do it? The Mets, obviously, it's over. Who cares? It's football season. Hard Knocks is here. I'm enjoying the hell out of the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers on Hard Knocks. But we got bets to make. We got futures to place, and that's what we're doing here today. We're talking NFL futures, specifically overs and unders for these team win totals across the NFL. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all 32. That would be stupid. That would take way too long. But there are a bunch of teams that I picked out that I happen to like, that I'm interested in placing a future. There are two specifically that I'll get into that I had on the list that I end up crossing off. I'm a little scared. I'm not willing to make the bet. And if you have been listening to Subway Sports Talk and following along our picks over the past couple of years, and myself on social media at Subway Sports Talk, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, the whole nine, I'm telling you right now, I don't tell you about bets that I wouldn't place, right? So when I was going through this list, I wasn't just going to throw some teams on there for funsies because it was fun or it sounds good. These are legitimately bets that I like, that I'm going to place, that I'm going to get some action on, and I'm going to sprinkle. Now, some more than others, obviously, and I'll go through that as we get there. But all these picks, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 overs and unders, not each total, that I like, and two that I crossed off that I will bring up because I think they're interesting, and I was just a little too scared to place them for this reason or that reason, which we'll get into, and I didn't want to include them on the list, but 6 is a good number. Obviously, an even one like 5 is this or that, but 6 felt right because these teams I all feel really good about. So I'm going to go through them, tell you the odds, and another thing to note, when you're looking at futures bets, it is important to check multiple sports books. It really is. Because if you look at DraftKings versus FanDuel, just those two alone, you can find very different odds. For example, the Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers, they're in the same division. The Seahawks are at 8.5. The 49ers are at 10.5. On DraftKings, the Seahawks over 8.5 is minus 140. The 49ers over 10.5 is minus 160. On FanDuel, the 49ers over is minus 140, and the Seahawks over is minus 160. Okay, so this is a little bit of a thought there for you guys when you're looking at your sports books on trying to find the good odds, trying to find something that's not going to kill you on the juice there. Obviously, minus 140 is not what you want, but over-unders, that's what you have to do sometimes. But just check it out. Whatever sports book you're using, check it out. Before you place the bet, check out somewhere else, especially if you have a balance somewhere. I mean, check them all out. Why not? What do you have to lose? You might find yourself saving a few bucks here, making a few more bucks there, and that's a good thing because it makes a huge difference sometimes, especially when you're looking at these futures and these long-term plays and you're putting a little bit more money perhaps. You're going to save some dollars or make some more dollars. So always keep that in mind, and I will tell you which book I found each odds on. I really just looked at DraftKings and FanDuel, but again, check them all out. It may behoove you later on down the road. But let's get into it. My first pick of the day or of the year of 2023's NFL season for over-unders is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders at 6.5, and I'm going under. Under 6.5 for the Las Vegas Raiders. Big part of that reason is they have the second hardest schedule in all of the NFL. And that's based off of not just, you know,
winning percentage from last year or which teams did last year. It's based off of projected win totals across Las Vegas, right? So, and not the Las Vegas Raiders, across the sports books and et cetera. And that's a big difference, right? Because if you base it off last year, there are teams that were good last year that aren't going to be as good and vice versa, right? So you have to think about strength of schedule from a little bit more of a smart perspective here. And the Raiders have the 31st ranked schedule, aka the second hardest schedule in all of the NFL. It's really difficult. And if you look through their schedule right away, you're going to see that they go up against the NFC North. And you're going to go, oh, the NFC North's not that bad. Like that's actually probably one of the best divisions to get paired up against. Yeah, that's true. But guess what? They're also in the AFC West and they get the entirety of the AFC East. So right there, you got six games against the AFC West with the Chiefs and the Chargers, who are both very good, way better than the Raiders. The Broncos are probably definitely better than the Raiders as well. So their division's going to be really tough, and that's almost half their schedule right there. You tack on four games against the AFC East with all teams that I think are better than the Las Vegas Raiders, and that's 10 really difficult games right there, right off the rip, looking at their schedule. So from a schedule perspective, yeah, of course, it's really difficult to go through each and every single week and say, oh, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss. That's a fool's errand, right? That's something that's going to bite you in the butt because you're going to look at a team maybe like the Tennessee Titans and think they're going to be good and they might stink or vice versa, right? So you got to be careful with that, but it is a good place to start because historically, this strength of schedule that Warren Sharp puts out based off of projected win totals for each opponent has been very accurate. Last year, the Eagles had the easiest schedule in all of the NFL. And what did they do? They dominated their entire schedule. It happens consistently every year. Now, of course, there are some teams that are good enough to overcome it. That's going to happen no matter what. When you have the Kansas City Chiefs with the fifth hardest schedule in the NFL, you're not going to be as nervous as the Las Vegas Raiders or the New England Patriots with the first or second hardest schedule across the NFL. So on top of the schedule stuff, what else do I not like about the Las Vegas Raiders putting them at under 6.5? Well, last year their defense was abysmal. They were just giving it up early, giving it up late, especially late. They could not hold a lead to save their life. They had five double-digit leads, and they went 1-4 in those games. That's a testament to their defense being bad and a testament to their coach in Josh McDaniels not being very good. So, yeah, they have Devontae Adams. Yes, they got Jimmy Garoppolo. But who's trusting Jimmy Garoppolo to play 17 games? I don't think anybody out there is going to trust him to do so. They got Devontae Adams. They probably have Josh Jacobs back. They got Hunter Renfrow back and healthy. He hasn't been the picture of health either. No more Darren Waller, even though he was unhealthy last year. This offense has taken a step back without Derek Carr. Even, you know, say what you want about Derek Carr. If you don't love him, Jimmy Garoppolo has never done it in a system like this, especially with a coach like this. Jimmy G has played under Bill Belichick and, yes, technically Josh McDaniels. I know. But the Patriots system in a much different way for just a few games and succeeded. But the bulk, almost 98% of his success has been in the Kyle Shanahan system. The Raiders and Josh McDaniels have not proven anything to be a consistent offense, even with a better quarterback in Derek Carr and weapons who were probably a little bit sharper last year with Darren Waller, you know, there for a portion of games. Their offense is going to be okay at best. Their defense was horrible last year. I expect it to be horrible again. Max Crosby cannot do it all by himself. His workload is just too high. So the Las Vegas Raiders, 6.5, that is where you need to go. You got to go under there. And on top of it, if Jimmy G does go down, the backup last year, Jarrett Stidham, who took over for Derek Carr and put up some gaudy numbers and did a few things on the football field, he's not even there. Who are they turning to if Jimmy G inevitably misses 6 to 10 games like he has in so many seasons in the past? It's Brian Hoyer. Now, if you're going to trust Brian Hoyer to go out there and win you 7 games, it's not going to happen. The Raiders are not good. They're in a really difficult division. They're the worst team in that division. They also play the entire AFC East. This, my friends, is an under. But now let's move on to two other picks that I actually ended up not choosing. So these are not my official picks. They're two that I had on the list that I looked over that I told myself, will I bet this myself? Do I have the gumption to actually put these on, put the bread, put the money where my mouth is and actually make these bets? And I couldn't bring myself there. So these next two do not count in my total, but I want to get them out of the way. I wanted to get off the schneid with the Raiders under, but these two do not count. First one is the Patriots over 6.5. It's -140 and excuse me. And the over for 7.5 on DraftKings is +140. Those are two numbers that I actually felt good about, that I have a lot of interest in, that I do have interest in betting, but I just couldn't bring myself to do so. And that's because it goes against one of the core tenets of my ideas when I look at these over-unders for the season. The Patriots have the hardest schedule in the NFL. They're ranked 32nd on strength of schedule. It's the hardest one in the NFL, right? Yes, they play in the AFC East. We know that that's incredibly difficult. But they have a just juggernaut of a schedule otherwise. They play the NFC East, and that's not going to be easy. Like, they have the entire NFC East, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Commanders, all teams who are solid to great teams. The Patriots' schedule is going to be tough. Why I like the over, though, for the New England Patriots is it cannot be understated how much of an upgrade it may be for Bill O'Brien to be in charge of this offense. Last year with Patricia and Joe Judge was a travesty. It was one of the worst teams in the NFL to watch. It was horrendous to watch them try to do anything on offense last year, and they still got to 8-9 on the record, right? So that's why when I look at this over-under at 6.5 for the New England Patriots, I want to smash that over, even though it's -140 on DraftKings. I want to smash that over 7.5 +140 on DraftKings. But I just couldn't bring myself to do it because of how difficult their schedule is going to be. And if you look through it, off the rip, the first five games of the year, they got the Eagles, the Dolphins, at the Jets, at the Cowboys, the Saints. Are they favored in any of those games? If the Saints get off to a sneaky start, they're not favored in that one. And I'll tell you right now, they're not favored against the Cowboys, Jets, Dolphins, or Eagles. Go on down the list. The Bills, the Dolphins again, the Giants, the Chargers, the Chiefs. It's not going to be easy for the Patriots. They very well may break 6.5. They very well may break 7.5. But it's not a bet that I could confidently say I'm going to put on the books. So for that, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to give it to you guys. If you like it, more power to you. I couldn't bring myself to do it. Maybe you could. Bill O'Brien over Matt Patricia may be huge. Huge. But there's still a little bit of a lack of talent on offense. Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne. Not exactly a wide receiver group you feel awesome about. Yes, Mac Jones, maybe Bailey Zappe. I don't know who it's going to be. Ramondre Stevenson, Zeke Elliott's a nice running back room. That obviously feels solid. Their defense is really, really good. Their defense was awesome last year. That was the only positive about their team because their offense was horrible to watch. But I could not bring myself to do it. So Patriots over 6.5, -140 on DraftKings. I just couldn't bring myself to do it, though I do like it. Next one is the Commanders under. That one I also could not bring myself to do. I like the setup of the bet. The Commanders do have a tough schedule. They're the 24th schedule, so it is tough. That helps you if you're going for the under. You know, it's one of the tougher schedules in the NFL, but their defense last year was really, really good. They carried themselves from a defensive standpoint without the talent at the quarterback position, and they got to 8-8-1, right? So, yes, Sam Howell might not be the answer for them at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett might not be the answer for them at quarterback. Do they have some talent? Absolutely. Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown, Jahan Dotson. They got guys who can make plays. They got Gibson still. They got Brian Robertson. They got talent, and their defense is very good. But that schedule scares the hell out of me. The quarterback play scares the hell out of me. And what I don't want to be doing is sitting here every single Sunday knowing that I have on the books a Commanders under and just looking at it saying, how in the hell are they going to get to 7 wins? It's under 6.5 at minus 120 on DraftKings, a very reasonable number. But can you bring yourself to watch the Commanders every week and say they're going to win 7 games? I can't find myself there. I don't know if you can too. I do like the bet, but I cannot bring myself to make it. Let's move on and back to the bets that I actually like a lot, right? So those last two, the Patriots over, the Commanders under, two bets I liked, but I cannot bring myself to do them, so I scratched them off my official list. So let's get back to the official list. We're going to go to the Green Bay Packers. The number's at 7.5. I'm going under, plus 100 on DraftKings. Another really interesting tidbit about overs and unders across the NFL over the past handful of seasons. Heard this from Raheem Palmer on the Ringer Gambling Show. Over half the league, and it fluctuates, so I'm just going to use that as a general rule of thumb. Sometimes it's been 16, 19, 22 teams, but over half the league, each of the last 4 years, have not just gone over under, obviously everyone's going over or under, but gone over or under their alternate win total, which is usually one or two above or below where their actual number is, right? So if you're following me right now, the Packers under's at 7.5. Their alt win total would be under 6.5 or under 5.5 or over 8.5, over 9.5. So over half the league has gone over or under their alternate win total. Okay, so that means when you're looking at these over-unders and you're saying, ooh, I could see the Packers winning 7 or 8, and you don't know what to do with that number, more than half the league is not getting exactly to that number. They're going 2 games under their total. They're going 2 games over their total. So I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers and thinking about what they have to offer this season, and I don't just like under 7.5 at a plus 100 number on DraftKings. I like under 6.5 at plus 150, and I'm thinking about under 5.5 at plus 265. You know, for the odds, it might be nice to throw a little bit something on that 265, but here's why I'm going under on the Packers in general. First of all, they do have a middling schedule, the 14th easiest schedule, so they're right in the middle of the pack there, but they get the AFC West. Boom. AFC West. Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos. 3 games, incredibly difficult. Broncos defense is really good. I don't know about their offense, but they're never going to be easy to play. They weren't easy to play last year, and their offense was horrible. Okay, so they get the AFC West. Yes, they do also play in the NFC North, which you can argue is one of the weaker divisions across the NFL. You got the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears. They get those guys 2 times each. Yes, that's one of the easier schedules in the NFL, or even easier divisions in the NFL, but can you sit here and tell me that you think the Packers are undoubtedly better than the Lions? Absolutely not. Undoubtedly better than the Vikings? No. Undoubtedly better than the Bears? I think a split with the Bears would make the most sense. I think a split or a sweep by the Vikings makes sense. I think they're expected to lose both games to the Lions. So you throw in the AFC West with those 3 teams that are way better than the Raiders, and you throw in the NFC North, yes, it's a weaker division, but none of those teams are going to be underdogs to the Green Bay Packers. Now, on top of that, you also have unproven quarterback, unproven wide receivers, and an unproven tight end. Who are their weapons? Their weapons are their running backs, right? That's a pure strength for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, one of the best backfields in all of the NFL. But with that being said, when do running backs shine? Running backs usually shine when you have a team that can take a lead, and those running backs help you maintain that lead, chew clock, and get the job done. But unfortunately for the Green Bay Packers, their defense last year was horrible. They gave up yards like it was their job. The 5th worst team at a yards per place perspective across the NFL. They were terrible. They gave it up like it was their job. Okay, so Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, will they really be able to shine if their defense is giving it up the same way they did last year? On top of that, with Jordan Love at quarterback, you got to think about how is the offensive line going to do? Well, with Aaron Rodgers, they couldn't even protect last year. They were having Aaron Rodgers under duress, a guy who is a wizard at controlling a defensive line, at working with his offensive line to get the right protections under. Is Jordan Love going to be able to do that? Have we seen Jordan Love do anything to make us believe he can be a good quarterback in the NFL? I haven't seen it. I didn't see it in college. I didn't like him coming out of the draft. I haven't seen it in his minimal time playing at the NFL level. Jordan Love hasn't proven anything. And you combine Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, who are two receivers who we do like, they got less than 85 catches last year combined. So they're not proven. They have not accomplished anything. They have a quarterback in Jordan Love who hasn't accomplished anything. I don't trust this team at all to put up points. I don't trust their defense to stop people. And you get that at 7.5 on the over-under at plus 100. I really like that. There's been a little bit of buzz about the Green Bay Packers being a little bit better than expected. Jordan Love's looking good here, looking good there. I don't care. Until I see it, I will not believe it. I will not buy into it. And I will definitely not bet on it. I'm going to bet against it. Jordan Love has a whole lot to prove. And he hasn't done it yet. So this under 7.5 number is perfectly right. The Lions are going to be good. I'm not touching their number, but I expect them to win the division. I think the Vikings are still going to put up points and be okay and going to win some games. They're the team in the NFC North that I think is going to sneak to 8 or 9 wins, not the Green Bay Packers. This Packers will be 7, 6, 5 wins this year with Jordan Love at the helm. They may be thinking about who's their next quarterback after this season. Moving on to the next pick, I'm going with the New Orleans Saints, and I'm going over 9.5, which is plus 115 on FanDuel. The odds were not quite as good on DraftKings, so I hopped over to FanDuel for this one. Plus 115 for the Saints, and this one is simple. It's tried and true to one of my tenets of betting overs and unders in the NFL. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL by a long shot. Them and the Falcons have the easiest schedules in the NFL by a wide, wide margin. It's not even close. Okay, and that's in part because last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won that division, so they get the first place schedule of that division. The Panthers were in second technically, but the Panthers, Saints, and Falcons were all 7-10. Whatever. The Saints and Falcons have number one and number two, and by a wide, wide margin. Number three drops off a ton, which is the Colts, Panthers, Niners. But 1 and 2 is the Saints' easiest schedule by a long shot. Now look through their schedule. Not only do they play in the AFC or in the NFC South, they get the AFC South. So what does that mean? That means that they play consistently the Tennessee Titans, the Carolina Panthers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans. The Jaguars are actually very good. But the Colts and the Panthers again and the Falcons twice. They play no good quarterbacks. None. Those are just the teams in the AFC South and the NFC South they play. Who else do they play? They play the Detroit Lions. Good team. Good team, but they're beatable. They're beatable for the New Orleans Saints. They play the New England Patriots, a beatable team for the New Orleans Saints. They play against the New York Giants, a beatable team for the Saints. The Los Angeles Rams. Have you heard about a good quarterback yet on this list? The best quarterback that the New Orleans Saints play this entire season, I'm not even kidding, is either Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, or Daniel Jones. Those are the best teams or the best quarterbacks on the Saints schedule. And that doesn't include Matt Stafford. I should have included him. He is probably the best, but who the hell knows where the Rams and Matt Stafford will be when they meet in week 16, when the Saints and the Rams meet in week 16. The Saints play no good quarterbacks this year. A lot of rookie quarterbacks with the Panthers, and they get the Texans. It's going to be one of those situations where Derek Carr joins this team to add positivity and stability to an offense last year that completely lacked stability and positivity. Who knew what they were running out of quarterback last year? Who knew what they were running out from an offensive perspective? But guess what? Their defense was really good last year. Third lowest yards per play allowed for that defense. They still got playmakers. They still got game changers on the defensive line. Cam Jordan still doing his thing. The Saints are solid to good. And with Derek Carr and Chris Olave, who might just have an extremely breakout level season right now, and a Kamara comeback, Alvin Kamara is healthy, reworked his body, figured out some stuff, worked with some crazy trainers. I'm hearing all the stories. I get it. He's awesome. They bring in Jamal Williams. Michael Thomas might play football again. Who's to say? I trust the Saints to be good. I trust the Saints to be the best team in the NFC South, and that will get them to 10 wins. Don't think they're a team you want to go on the all total. I can picture them winning 11, 12 would be a long shot, but I don't love it there. But I think double digits is absolutely realistic and probable for this New Orleans Saints team, especially when you take into this fact the easiest schedule with minimal positive quarterbacks on as their opponents for this season. Next, I'm on to the Seattle Seahawks. Their over-under is set at 8.5. I mentioned this one earlier. Minus 140 on the over, and I'm going with it. Seattle Seahawks over 8.5 this season with Geno Smith at the helm. The Seattle Seahawks played a really good year last year. Maybe some people believe that it was a little bit of fool's gold. That is Geno Smith really ready to do that again and be that guy again? I happen to believe he could. He was top 10 in EPA per play for quarterbacks last year. His weapons are absolutely insane with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Noah Fant, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who they just drafted early in the draft this past season. The weapons are legit. They can run the ball a little bit. They got a guy in Geno Smith who can move, who can throw down the field, who can make things happen. I trust the Seahawks this year. I don't think they're going to win the division because the Niners are a juggernaut, but I do expect the Seahawks back in the playoffs, and I do expect them to win over 8.5 games. Seahawks, they play in the NFC West. Obviously, the Niners are good. The Rams and the Cardinals, probably not as good. That's four games on their schedule right there. That can easily be three wins for them. They also get the AFC North, which is difficult, and that does, you know, that does hinder this a little bit. It makes it a little bit more difficult to lock in and say, oh my gosh, they're definitely going to win two of their four AFC opponents when they get the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Steelers. That is difficult. Not going to lie. But the rest of their schedule is incredibly reasonable when they play teams like the New York Giants and the Tennessee Titans and obviously the Cardinals and the Rams. I believe in Geno Smith. I think he's going to put up numbers again. I think he's going to continue to hit DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett downfield on big-time plays. The Seahawks are good. They were good last year, and I think they're not going to just fall by the wayside. They won 9 last year. I expect them right back in that same exact pocket this year. 9 wins, maybe 10, but I do like this over a lot for the Seattle Seahawks at 8.5. Next, let's go back to a little under action and talk a little Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans over under 7.5. The odds are plus 105 on DraftKings, so you're getting decent odds there, and that might tell you that you don't want to do it, but I'm going to tell you why you do want to do it. First of all, they get the NFC South. Yes, that is a positive for them. The NFC South is not a very good division. However, similarly to when I was talking about the Green Bay Packers, when you look at the Titans and you look at the NFC South, are the Titans clearly better than the Saints or Falcons or Panthers? I'm not going to say that they are. I don't think that they are. I think they're worse. I think the Titans are shooting themselves in the foot a little bit here because they're stuck in between eras. They got Ryan Tannehill at quarterback who was extremely injured last year. If he's not doing it, you're looking at Malik Willis or Will Levis at quarterback, and that's going to be an issue. Treylon Burks may be out for the year for an injury. We're waiting to see what the information is on that. But the big one's Derrick Henry. And I'm just looking at Derrick Henry right now as a guy who is slowing down. I know the counting stats are still there. I know the volume is still there. And you never want to count this guy out. Do you still want to draft Derrick Henry in fantasy? Maybe. They might feed the man again. He might lead the league in touches again. He did it last year when everyone expected him to slow down. And he didn't. Except for the fact that he did. His efficiency has been going down. The Titans rushing offense was 14th ranked in yards per play last year. Very, very mediocre. Their defense was very, very mediocre. 19th in yards per play last year allowed. It's not the same Titans that we all fell in love with Mike Vrabel at the helm a few years back. I don't trust them. I don't think they're very good. I think 7.5 is a number that's going to be tough to get, tough to beat. Don't think they're a playoff team by any means. And another thing, their bye week is in week 7. For the Tennessee Titans, okay? And for that, where do I have? Oh, here's the schedule, sorry. Before that week 7 bye for the Tennessee Titans, they have a very difficult go at it. They have the Saints, Chargers, Browns, Bengals, the Colts, okay, and the Baltimore Ravens. 5 games that they will undoubtedly be underdogs in. 5 underdogs out of 6 before their bye in week 7. And this is why I like the under so much. If the Titans are dealing with some injuries, if the Titans are 1-4 going into that, or 1-5 going into that bye in week 7, maybe even 2-4, and there's a little bit of bang up here, Treylon Burks out for the year, Tannehill not looking good, Tannehill banged up, they are 100% a team that I could imagine saying, we need to go and get Caleb Williams next year. It's going to be important for every team in that tanking range when you're looking at overs and unders. Caleb Williams is one of those quarterbacks people are talking about as a can't-miss prospect. And when you have one of those, when you have a Trevor Lawrence, when you have an Andrew Luck, people do what they have to do. They sell parts, and they move on to the next one. Everyone knows Tannehill's not the long-term success story here. The Titans are not winning any Super Bowls. They are probably not winning any divisions. I think that goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Over, under 7.5, I think they end up with 5 or 6 wins. I think if things go really bad, DeAndre Hopkins can be on the trading block, and they could be looking at a reset. And if that's the case, cash that ticket, because 7.5, the over is definitely not getting hit. The Titans are one of those teams, they're hard to bet against. They play tough. You like to root for them because of Vrabel and the brand of football. But that defense was really mediocre last year. That rushing offense was really mediocre last year. And we don't have to talk about the passing offense because Tannehill missed so much time and they couldn't do anything passing the ball without him. Yeah, they got D-Hop. They might not have Treylon Burks. The talent's not great on offense. The talent's not great on defense. Their coaching's good. Their composure is pretty good for the most part. But they also ended the year on a terrible slide last year where they were losing a bunch of games late. So the Tennessee Titans are not a team that I trust. They lost 7 in a row to end last season. And for that, I'm out on backing the Tennessee Titans. I'm going under 7.5 for the Titans. Last but not least, let's keep it in the AFC South and go back to a double down bet on an over-under right here. The Jacksonville Jaguars are over under 9.5. And I'm going Jacksonville Jaguars over 9.5. I am also going to play the Jacksonville Jaguars alternate over at 10.5, at which is plus 125, and then 11.5 at plus 220. I'm playing it. I'm putting the ticket in. Over 11.5 wins for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have the 12th easiest schedule across the NFL. They obviously get the NFC South, just like the opposite of the Saints, that are just like the Titans. NFC South, not very good. Jaguars better than all of those teams, in my opinion. And they are by far and away the best team in the AFC South. So you look at that, that's 10 games. I think they are better than all 10 of their opponents in their divisional matchups, as well as their cross-conference matchups in the NFC South. You're also talking about the second year of Trevor Lawrence with Doug Peterson. You add Calvin Ridley, another year of Travis Etienne running the ball extremely well. Their offense picked up incredibly well towards the end of last season. We know what they did in the playoffs. I think they build on that. It's not a fluke. It's a legitimate process going down in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence at the helm, who very well may be looked at as a top 5 quarterback at the end of this season. And on top of that, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is full of dogs. Last year, top 5 in hurry rate percent, quarterback knockdown percent, pressure rate percent. They were up there with the best of the best on defense from all of those advanced statistics about getting to the quarterback. We know what Josh Allen can do on the defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That defense, though, even with all those impressive numbers, they were not up there in sacks. In fact, they were very meddling to lower end on sack totals. Only 35 sacks on the year. It was about eighth worst in the league. It doesn't add up to how good they were at putting pressure on quarterbacks. So for those reasons, with Trevor Lawrence and the offense taking a step, and Calvin Ridley, who I think is an absolute beast, if he's healthy, golly, watch out what him, Christian Kirk, and T-Law can do, and Evan Engram at the tight end position, who's basically a wide receiver, and mix in this defense with some positive regression on the sack numbers, because they got after the quarterback basically at the same rate as the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Jets last year. That's no joke. Those are the 3 best defenses in the league, basically, last year. All those teams did work on defense, and they had sacks to show for it. Eagles had 70 sacks, Cowboys 54, the Jets 45, The Jaguars only had 35. They're one of the only teams in that high-end pressure rate number that didn't get over 40 sacks. I think there's a positive regression on sacks for the Jaguars this year. I think there's still positive, progression for their offense with Trevor Lawrence. I love the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. There is only a little bit of hesitancy out of some people to put all your eggs in the Jaguars basket. Yeah, they won the AFC South once. Can they do it again? You know, is that a little bit of a fluke? I don't know. It's not a fluke to me. The Colts, not good. The Texans, not good. I just told you that I don't think the Titans are very good. They're going to run away with this division. They're going to get double-digit wins, and they're going to smash the over. They're going to smash the over at 9.5. They're going to smash it at 10.5, and they're going to smash it at 11.5. They're going 12 wins. Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence looked at as a top-5 quarterback in the NFL by the end of this year. To recap, my 6 picks for overs and unders in the NFL in 2023. I got the Raiders under 6.5, minus 130 on DraftKings. Packers under 7.5, plus 100 on DraftKings. Also like they're all under at 6.5 and 5.5. Going to probably sprinkle some bucks on that as well. The Saints over 9.5, plus 115 on FanDuel. Seahawks over 8.5, minus 140 on DraftKings. Titans under 7.5, plus 105 on DraftKings. And Jaguars over 9.5, minus 140, over 11.5. Let's go, Jaguars. Over 11.5 at plus 220 for their alternate win total. So I'm doubling down on Packers under. I'm doubling down on Jaguars over. I love it. Let's do some bonus Giants and Jets here. And this is where it gets really tough, man. I'm not playing this. I'll tell you right now, I am not playing this. One, as a fan of the New York Giants, I don't want to be tied to a number. I don't. I want the Giants to do well. I am pulling for them every step of the way. Right now, they're at 7.5 with plus 100 on the over, minus 120 on the under. So Vegas telling you a slight lean on the under there. But we know what they did last year. I'm nervous that last year's win total was a little bit fluky for the New York Giants. Yes, they won 9 games. Yes, that's 2 wins over what they need to get back there to over 7.5 this year. But the Eagles are really, really good. I think the Cowboys are awesome. I'm betting on the Cowboys to win the NFC East. And in fact, I probably should have bet their over under as well. But I kind of feel like because I'm betting on them to win the NFC East, I don't really want to. I don't want to touch their number, but if you want to, they're plus 115 on over 10.5, which now that I look at it, what am I doing? I'm hammering that as well. Plus 115 over 10.5. I think they win 12 games again due to the Cowboys. I think the Eagles regress a little bit, but they're still so much better than the New York Giants. That division's tough. The Commanders are no pushover. The Giants have a difficult schedule. They're middle of the pack generally from a strength of schedule perspective, but they're going up against dogs all year. Not going to be easy for them. They got the AFC East. That's not going to be easy. So between their own division and the AFC East, I don't love this number. I want to stay away from it. I think they get to 8 wins. I don't think 9 or 10 are in their cards. Maybe they can get back to 9 wins. Maybe. But 10 is not looking good for the Giants. Obviously, over that would be an absolute miracle. I'm staying away from this number. If you're a fan and you want to bet the over on the Giants, knock yourself out. I'm staying away. I'm wearing a Giants shirt right now, actually, if you're watching on YouTube. I'm watching this team as a fan. There was a lot of positives last year, a lot of things to look forward to, but their roster still has flaws. The offensive line is better, but still not great. The receiver room is better, but still not great. The defense still has a few issues despite some top-end talent. Daniel Jones is not a top-10 quarterback, in my opinion, which... plug, we're going to do a quarterback tier and rankings episode next week with my buddy Paul Barquita, who's my quarterback. We're going to talk about all that stuff with Daniel Jones and if he can continue to improve and throw some more freaking touchdowns, right? Because 15 ain't going to cut it. They had a lot of wins last year that were last minute, balls to the wall, Daboll just being the better coach. Can they repeat that? Can they continue to luck out some of those wins? They won, I believe they won 9 games. I believe 7 of them, that's off the top of my head. It was 6 or 7 of them were one score games. So everybody hated on the Vikings all year long for winning these one score games, but no one was doing it to the Giants because it was a fun story. Oh, they beat the Vikings in the playoffs, but everyone hated the Vikings. No one thought they were good. So I don't trust the Giants, even though I want to, even though I'm rooting for them, even though I do think they're going in the right direction. I won't touch that number at 7.5 for the New York Giants. And if I had to, if I had to place a bet, I go 8 wins for the Giants, but I don't feel good about it. And it feels a little bit homerish for me to say that they can get 8 with a lot of confidence. On the New York Jets front, obviously a ton of hype for the New York Jets. 9.5 is the number, but their schedule is really difficult. They have the 26th ranked schedule. The only people with harder schedules than the Jets are the teams in their division, like the Bills and the Dolphins and Patriots, all harder schedules than the Jets, and then the rest of the AFC West, the Chargers, Chiefs, and Raiders. Those are the only teams with harder schedules than the Jets, according to Sharp Football Analysis. Not going to be easy for the Jets. Over under 9.5 on paper with this roster feels very, very possible. It feels possible they can win this division. It feels like Aaron Rodgers is lifting this team, or lifting this offense, I should say, because he's that good and he's that cool. And I'm watching the Hard Knocks and I'm sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm loving what I'm seeing on Hard Knocks. Garrett Wilson, Dalvin Cook, and Breece Hall. That freaking defense, which is so elite. My God, it's hard to say that they shouldn't win 10 games, but with the schedule they have in the AFC East, playing the NFC East, it's going to be a bore. They have a difficult, difficult schedule, and that's also why I'm not betting on this number. Another team I just want to appreciate as a fan. I'm not a fan of the Jets, but I am pulling for the Jets a little bit this year. I want them to be exciting. I want them to be fun. I want Aaron Rodgers to succeed. I root for him a little bit. I think they got dudes all over the roster, especially on defense. I mean, Quinnen Williams, absolute beast. McDonald, the rookie they drafted, looks like a stud. Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, like, they got dudes everywhere on defense. Their defense was awesome last year. It should be awesome again. 9.5 seems feasible for them. Hard to trust with the issues of injuries, offensive line obviously being another one. So I don't love it. I'm not betting it. If I had to bet it, I guess I'd go over again. But again, that feels homery. It feels New York biased. It feels Subway Sports Talk biased. And I'm just not going to do that. If you want to do it, if you're a Jets fan, if you're not a Jets fan, if you're sipping the Hard Knocks Kool-Aid, go ahead. Take Jets over 9.5. There's not a lot of value there. There's just not. If you really like them, bet them week to week. That's what I would say. Same thing for the Giants. Bet them week to week. Because you're going over 9.5 at minus 115. It is what it is. It's not a great number. You're going to be chipping and clawing at that. If they win 10 games, it'll be a very solid season. They probably make the playoffs. But you're also banking on the Dolphins maybe hitting some injuries and not playing that well. You're banking on the Patriots falling apart. You're banking on them beating the Giants and Cowboys or the Eagles and the Commanders and whatever. It's not going to be easy. So yeah, go Jets. Go Giants. I like what they're doing. They're going in the right direction this year. I don't love the numbers. That's all we got. Subway Sports Talk, man. Golly. Overs and unders, futures. It's the season to talk football. I mean, in my head, it's like next week is week one, but I know we got a few weeks before the season starts, and that means we got a few more weeks of content for preseason football stuff. Let me tell you what we got planned for the next 2 weeks. Next week, I just mentioned it, quarterback rankings and tiers. All the way through, top tiers, all the way to the bottom tiers. We're talking about everybody. We're ranking the top 15, top 20. We're going to do it all. We're going to talk about the Mahomeses and the Burrows and the Allens. We're going to talk about the Tuas and the Daniel Joneses and the Aaron Rodgerses. We're going to talk about the Justin Fields and the CJ Strouds. We're going to do it all next week for quarterbacks. That'll be out probably on Tuesday. And then the week after that, we're doing a fantasy preview. We're going to get my boy Donald Wagenblast in the mix here, former co-host of the Run Up the Score Fantasy Football podcast. Now he hosts his own podcast called Collections. It's a great show. I've been on it before. He's been on this one before. We're talking fantasy because that's the biggest draft week of the year. Whatever week that is, August 28th. There you go. August 28th, all the way through Labor Day weekend. First game is September 7th. That's when everyone's doing their drafts. That's when we're going to be talking fantasy football on Subway Sports Talk. So I can't wait. The next 2 weeks of episodes are going to be bangers, I believe, because I'm confident in myself and my guests to talk it up. That's what we're doing. That's all we got. Subway Sports Talk. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app, as well as drop a notification or hit the notification bell. Drop a comment on YouTube. All that stuff is great. Get back on the social media grind. I haven't posted in about a week or so because I've been away. Now I'm back, and we're going to hit the social media hard, and we're going to hit the NFL previews hard. And if anything crazy in baseball happens, maybe we'll throw it in. But I don't care. I don't care. And it's not just because the Mets suck. Ask a Yankee fan if you're not a Yankee fan. The Yankees, no one wants to talk about it either. And I definitely don't. So we're talking football right here on Subway Sports Talk, but that's all we got. I'm Pete Kennedy. Don't forget, Subway Sports Talk, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, subscribe, review the podcast app. You know what to do. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.